Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 296 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Buddy, here we are, man. Yeah, we got another super dope episode of Andor, a fantastic season finale to She-Hulk, some other shows that I don't watch that you can tell us about.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings finale, yeah.
Got another Star Wars show coming up in just one short week from now.
Yeah.
From the time this episode comes out, anyway.
Can I say something? Every time you start with the, so here we are now, got my guy. I always think of, it smells like Teen Spirit. Like I always want to say, entertain us.
Well, see, here's the thing. We all know that's not what we're going to do, so I don't say it.
It happens every time to me.
So listen, I just found out that my neighbor, like three houses up, is super into Star Wars.
Nice.
Or let me rephrase that. He thinks he's super into Star Wars.
Yeah.
But his daughter is going to go trick-or-treating as Rey for Halloween.
Tight.
And I've got in the original box the Hasbro, I guess, is who made it, Rey's staff.
Oh.
That's never been opened. Yeah. Stella was kind of over it by the time I acquired that. I'm going to see if that little girl wants it, man.
Oh, that's cool, man. Pass the joy along.
Yeah. So maybe I can unload a whole bunch of action figures on this cat, too.
You're like, what else you want, huh?
Yeah.
I'm slinging it left and right. What you got?
I'm getting ready to jump on Sideshow and see if I got anything on pre-order that I can cancel because...
Yeah.
I pre-ordered that. Reminds me,
I've not checked on that Podbean thing at all. I should go look into that.
They came back and said it was a done deal.
Yeah, they said it, but I didn't check to make sure the credit card was refunded. You know what
gotcha,
I'm saying?
Gotcha. I've been super happy with Anchor so far.
Yeah, I like it.
And I got to tell you, people, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, Anchor is a good way to go. It's free.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
And the features that it offers are pretty good. There's some things in it that are a little clunky, but it's also got pretty fantastic analytics. So we can see how many of you aren't listening to the show. It hurts more. But hey, what can you do?
You know what hurts? You know what hurts is the, did you look at the Spotify additional stats they have down there?
No.
Well, because Spotify is owned by Spotify, so they can give you a lot more detailed results about, you know, the Spotify users. And out of the people who listen on Spotify, which is not a huge percentage, like maybe like 8% of our listeners.
Oh, God, I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Yeah. 94%. You want to guess. Dudes, definitely dudes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In the age category, we dominate the 30 to 50 crowd. Dominate. Nice. Fucking dominate.
Well, so if you're
listen, hey, if you're in the under 30s and they're there, I've seen them. Stay.
Here's what I thought you were going to say is that since it's Spotify, they can tell you your drop off rate. And I thought you were going to say that 94% drop off in the first 12 minutes.
No, but I can definitely see how long they're watching our YouTube videos, though, the patrons.
I hope you guys are digging that.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that the Cruiser has to do some post-production work. Right. That makes me
slacker.
Happy.
Yeah.
Really does. Yeah,
we're going to share in the weekly pain of it. You know what I mean?
I had a birthday this past week, and I was under the weather for a good portion of the week. I'm just now starting to feel mostly okay again.
Happy birthday to that.
Yeah. Woo, look at me go. And it's been real good. I had the craziest gig on Sunday. Are you ready for this?
Lay it on me.
So here I was. we go to this thing and it's at this community center. It's a celebration for this guy who owns some production company and he does like a lot of DJs and stuff.
Okay.
And he had hired this, the country guy, Michael B. Witt, to play this thing. And Michael gave him a rider about here's what we need and so on and so on. We get there and there is a mixer with 24 channels with nobody to run it. And it's not hooked to anything. And
no.
There's no cabling and there's no nothing. And I'm like, and the speakers that we had, that they had there were these little tiny, and they still had the cardboard overlay them, because I'm pretty sure they were planning on taking them back after they got done with this. Uh-huh. So here's what happened. I packed up all my gear, took it there, and ran sound and didn't play one note on the guitar.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I had to sit in the back with an iPad and run sound off of our in-ear rig and just pass the audio to the mixer that they were using to have it come out of the speakers. And it sounded okay until I had to get it loud enough to compete with the unmiked drum set in this space. And it was nothing but distorted. It was so rough, man. Oh. But we did the set. We got out of there. And as we're packing out, I accidentally unplugged the DJ's mixer because he thought he didn't have it plugged into this. And it kills it midstream while the girl who's emceeing the thing, she gets cut off. So she starts railing on me a little bit. And I mean, it is like, this is all like hip hop stuff, right? Rap guys. And so she's expletive laced thing. And, anyhow, I'm
leaving. So it wasn't a joke. She was genuinely fucking pissed.
Yeah, I mean, she was kind of messing around. But anyway, I'm rolling my cart out of there, backpack on with a guitar. And she goes, look at that little white boy over there. She goes, everything he's got right there costs money. You can tell. I bet he's doing all right. Hey, white boy, you lonely? And all this. I'm like, oh, that's funny. I turn the corner. I guess she thinks I can't hear her anymore. She starts talking about, ladies, you know how it is. Well, you're with a man who has a little penis, right? You got to do all these bending around and do tricks and stuff so you can even tell he's in there. And I'm like, are you saying this because of me? So then she has to come outside and say, do any of you guys know how to fix sound? Because it sounds terrible in there. And I'm like, you know what? I'll come in and help you.
Oh.
Me and my little wiener will come back in here and help you.
Little Dickie, I'm not looking so bad now.
Yeah. Yep. Once you go white, it don't make it right. Anyhow. So now that we've alienated everyone.
I've heard a different mantra stated around these parts. Yeah.
Well, listen, since we are talking about birthdays and whatnot, why don't we just jump into this noise right here? Because I got stuffs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you get anything, Cruiser?
I've gone further into the rabbit hole of things I wouldn't buy because of... I don't want to buy these stupid AirPods, and I bought a freaking protective case for them that has a freaking keychain on them and shit. They've got me. They've trapped me in the little white grasp. I don't care how dirty these stupid things get. I got to clean them all the time. I don't care.
Good job, Steve Jobs.
God, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But no, I did get duped today. In a Facebook thing, I was beside myself for a while, if I'm honest, because I was like, you know, I'm always like preaching, like, don't do this, don't do that, whatever. And I got an instant message from one of my like really good friends, right? And it was just, but I hadn't texted him in a while. So like we were like doing Facebook Messenger and stuff. So like it all seemed like legit. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden I get a message. He's like, send me your number. And I was like, I'm like, that seems pretty aggressive, buddy. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, will you please send me your number? I'm like, okay. So then I sent it to him, and then I quickly realized he goes like Facebook locked me out of something, so I had to do this with that. And then like I said, I gotta be honest, it sounds kind of suspect. And I was like, will you tell me a memory that only me and you would know? And all of a sudden, like
radio silence.
It was all gone. It was gone. It was somebody had hacked his account, said, send me your number. So I got no idea what the fuck they did with my phone number. No idea. But I reset all my passwords to Facebook, that's for sure, and everything else. And I'm sitting there like, I know better than this. I should have been, but I've been out of school for a while now. So I'm like sitting there, I'm like, I should have been like, you know what, just call me so I can tell you over, you know, some other thing, you know, call me over Facebook Messenger so I can just tell you the numbers. Uh-huh. I'm weird. That's what I normally would have done. For some reason, my guard was down this day. And you know why? Because it was all kind of like broken English texts, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Which is usually a big warning sign. No offense to anybody, but it usually is. So right. It's what people look for in emails. And, but that's also how he fucking texts. Uh-huh. which is like words just don't quite work right, or they didn't get spelled correctly, or something got messed up. He didn't fix it. He's like, fuck, I'm gonna send it in anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything seemed legit. And then when like this person's off Messenger now is what it said. And I was thinking, well, maybe he was like trying to get back in his account and he needed to delete it. Cause I was looking into the two-factor authentication thing. Uh-huh. And there is a thing saying that you can't use the same phone for the authentication to protect your safety. So like basically it's what the phone number, it gets sent to them. Somebody can't get your number and just reset your password. You know, that's what it is. That's gotta be a different phone thing. So I was like, but why the hell would he get at me for that? So I was like, anyways, and then one of my other friends made a post, said, hey, I'm pretty sure your account got hacked because I got a message saying this and that. And so, yeah, I fucking fell for it because everything seemed so plausible.
I'm disappointed.
I'm ashamed of myself. I've taken dozens of cybersecurity classes, dozens, hours and hours of testing, certified several things. And even I.
You're typically so cynical too, man. That's wild.
I know. I was like letting the universe take the wheel that day. You know what I mean? Today, I was like, it's cool. Everything's going to be fine. But no. I got a disappointment. What did you get?
Okay. First of all, one of the things I got for myself, and it came, I don't know, probably like the day after we recorded last week.
Okay.
But I met her in a club down in Old Soho where you drink champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola. The animatronic Lola from Hasbro Pulse. Nice. Yeah, I haven't opened it, but there it is sitting over there. And I mean, I guess I'm glad I got it, that I pre-ordered it during Celebration.
Wait, is that like is that a Black Series model, or is it like a more advanced model?
It's the $80 one.
Oh,
whatever it is. So I'm sure it'll change my life for the better.
Yeah,
but
I want to say Weird Al and his parody songs haven't ruined many of the original songs for me. But it has most definitely ruined Lola for me. All I hear is Yoda. Yo, yeah. Yo, 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 Yoda.
Love the bridge of that song.
Yeah.
It's the best part. I picked up some rocks. I mean, it's so good. So anyway, the other thing I got was presents for my kids.
And nice.
I got these two little stuffed plushies that are Bluey and Bingo playing cool. Queen, where they're wearing crowns. And I got a book called My Dad is Awesome or something like that.
Oh, cool.
But then today, something came in the mail that hadn't shown up in time for my birthday, and it was a shirt with Bandit on it that says, like, World's Greatest Dad or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real strong chance that the Star Wars shirt streak may be broken soon.
Uh-oh.
Well, I got to wear that shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you are transitioning some fandom. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're getting deep into that Bluey mythology. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Oh, there was a couple of new episodes of Bluey that hopped on Disney Plus. Just two.
They're, yep. So are they still being released right now, or are they just like slowly? Is it when? Are they playing on the Disney Channel first, and then?
I have no idea. I just know that these two showed up, and both of them are heavily featured, like fart centric jokes.
Fart centric, right up your alley.
It's just kind of outside of the normal Bluey theme. So I hope that's not like a developing trend.
Oh, that there's gonna be farting all the time. Well, kids do love farts.
That is true. Yeah. There was one epic moment in it. That's all I got for Who Got What, by the way.
Okay.
There was an epic moment where Bandit accidentally pees on his foot.
Nice.
And so he comes hopping out of the bathroom on one foot with his other foot raised up, and he puts it in the sink.
Yeah.
And Blue's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I peed on my foot. What are you going to do?" And then he dries it off with her shirt, and she's flipping out. Anyway, it goes back to the point where they told Mom that Bandit wasn't hers anymore, because she said she was sick of him leaving like all the cupboards open and the refrigerator door and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Fine, he's ours. You can't have him." And she's like, "I just want a smoochy kiss." That's what the name of the episode is, the smoochy kiss. But then Bluey realizes he's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And so she tries to give him back to Mom. Or she knows, she tells Mom, "You need to stay away from him. He's gross.
He's gross."
And she's like, "His armpits stink or they're all sweaty." And she's like, "Yeah, that's true. He's got long hairs in his nose. Yeah, it's very hairy." And she goes, "Hey, he peed on his foot." She said, "Well, that's a new one." And he says, "Not really." I got some cool Bluey gear, man. I was real happy about that.
Let me ask you a question as a gentleman who's slightly older than myself. Okay,
I'm quite older, by the way. I just turned 85 on my birthday.
Well, I was trying to be nice. Well, because recently I've been wearing hats and stuff, and it's really because my hairline's just going fucking backward. I'm tired of looking at it, just to be honest. But like, I've also been wearing like band shirts and stuff, and I have like my I usually wear like a pair of Jordans or my Converses. Anyways, so the reason I'm going with this, because twice in the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, I've been complimented by like young men, like a 17-year-old and like a 16-year-old and maybe like a 12 or a 13-year-old. They either said, "Really like your hat, bro," or I really like your shoes or your shirt. And like, I was like, "Oh, thanks." And then immediately, because I'm a cynical brain fuck, immediately I was like, "Well, I should stop wearing all these clothes."
Yeah, if you know what I mean. Young or
yeah,
congratulate me.
Yeah. So I'm saying it's like does are you saying I dress in like a 16-year-old kid? That's good to hear.
You know, I had something kind of similar to that happen to me.
Yeah.
It was somebody thanking me for my service fighting during World War II.
Oh.
And I said I wasn't in the service. I just assumed. Oh, you're the right age.
You're like, "Why are you at this VFW then?"
And you're pretty banged up. Yeah.
Why are you playing bingo? By the way, those ladies and gentlemen that go to those bingo pits, that's what I call it, a bingo pit. They got a system, man. It's crazy how much that becomes their like big to do of that week or multiple times during the week. They got you look in the back of their car and they got like 25 of those fucking marker things in holsters. They're ready to go at all times for bingo.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, oh man. Speaking of bingo, my daughter's going to be bingo for Halloween.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It's funny because she really sounds like bingo. She really got that perfect pitch voice.
Oh.
And she was like, "Look, I'm bingo." And she's like, "Not the real bingo, but I'm bingo."
Aw. Listen, yeah. People, if you love Bluey, you can check out my podcast, Dinner with the Healers. We're having a lot of fun with it. The episode that comes out this week is Keepy Uppy.
Keepy Uppy.
It's a good episode. God,
there has never been a more wholesome television show.
Yeah.
Here's
what's cool about
cartoon,
Bluey.
Cartoon, live action, whatever. It's just
Bluey wholesome. Is referred to as a preschool cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But it really... It features kids in preschool, but most of the content is a little older than that.
Yeah, it definitely transcends that.
Yeah, and which I think that is a really cool thing. And it is. It's very endearing. It's very sweet and super, super relatable. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, like we said many times, though, relatable, like sometimes they'll let the parents look, like, exhausted and, like, you know, often, you know, whatever, but, like, they're still, like, getting the job done.
Right.
But they're really, like, on the, I've seen a lot of episodes, and maybe I've missed it, but there's a lot of times where I don't feel like they're, like, all right, well, this day is just over, and we're all going to our corners, because yeah. It's been a bad one. you know what I mean?
A couple.
Yeah.
Or it's like, that's it. You kids are going to bed.
Yeah.
Louie's middle name is Christine, by the way.
Louie Christine Healer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it.
Anyhow, enough about Louie. Mm. I mean, not really. We could always talk about Louie. But you know what we're going to talk about next? We're going to talk about video games before we get into Andor, all right?
Nice.
Cruiser, what have you been playing?
Oh, man. I've been playing the ever-living shit out of Immortals Fenyx Rising. But it's getting to that point, I'm like 35 hours into it, where it's like starting to like be ready for it to be done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you got to do a lot of grindy shit to like get your character up to a level where you're like, you know, whipping ass. And like, you know, which I'm used to, but it's not as... There's not as many differences as in the fights as, let's say, Elden Ring, something like that. You know what I mean? Like the bosses, it's just not that level, right?
Right.
And if I had never played Elden Ring, Immortals Fenyx Rising would probably feel like a lot better than, you know, I'd put me higher on my list.
Yeah, but Elden Ring was quite the game changer on several levels.
Just quality storytelling.
Yeah. Just the mechanics of it alone are, even though they were freaking frustrating at first, it's quite good.
The upgrade systems, the level designs, it was just, I'm glad that I got to experience it. That's what I'll say. It was very good. But I've been playing that. I'm about 35 hours into it. I think I'm getting close to the last part. I also have recently, I played this weird roller coaster game that I played just to play because it was there because I wanted to find a wind down game, and I just was trying it and I played it and it was okay. I played a little bit more Metal Hellsinger. I talked about that. I don't know if you ever looked into that yet.
No.
Metal Hellsinger. Oh, man, you gotta try it at least once. And a couple games I've downloaded, I'm gonna try pretty soon. Is they have two Assassin's Creed games on there that I wanted to try. Odyssey, which is kind of going in line with the Immortals Fenyx Rising as far as like, you know, mythology, like Greek mythology and stuff like that. And they also have the Egyptian mythology one, which is the Origins. They're both on Game Pass. And I want to play Odyssey first. And another game that I played that I think we should try to play together sometime because I think you can play multiplayer. It's called Grounded. Have you looked into that?
Uh-uh.
It's basically if Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was real. Like it's kind of like you're these really these shrunk down people, but you have to make all these weapons and like there's this whole deal and like there's these giant spiders and ants and like all this stuff. I got into an altercation with a lightning bug that was terrifying. it's not graphically terrifying, like, but like, because it's very much an animated ish style of game. You know what I mean? But there's this scene when at night the whole thing changes, becomes a little bit more terrifying because you got to use torches and you got to look around, but like. I saw this lightning bug. I was like, well, it's just a light bug. So I slapped at it and it turned into this demon. And I ran using all my ninja video game skills to get out of there. And I turn around and it's pitch black. And over, you see his little claws come over the hills and all his eyes are red. And he starts like hovering towards me. Panic, major panic. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm like, I thought this game was like for kids, and I'm like pissing my pants. And I was out of there. I ran for the hills. Thank God I got out of there. But that game's good. I need to go back to it. I streamed it once, but I'm trying to finish up this fucking Immortals game and move on in my life. I've come this far. I got to get it done. And another game I downloaded, I'm gonna check out pretty soon. And I'm sure you've seen on the Game Pass, Scorn. Have you seen that?
Huh.
I think I'm going to end up not liking it, basing it off of the color palette, right? Because it's very, it's almost monotone in look. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm not saying it's one color, but it's just everything kind of grays together.
Muted.
Yes, very, very muted. And that's on purpose, as they're trying to create a certain environment.
Huh.
But I don't know how to explain. I've not played it yet, but like I've watched a couple play a little bit of it, and it looks kind of gross and kind of crazy. Lots of visceral crunching noises and such. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the violence is good, I'm sure. You know, that's got to be a key factor. But, beyond that, dude, I have been streaming about every day, about an hour and a half, about an hour to 2 hours a day, an evening, because I'll usually play a couple like matchmaking games with my friends, and then I'll get on and I'll play a couple hours of a solo game. And I've had some I'm getting some more interaction in the chat, slowly get more people to watch. So, Eric's been doing it too, but if you ever just want to. If you're bored, you have Twitch, just subscribe and I'll chat to you. Just send me text messages. I don't care. Send me DM, well, not DMs, but this comment in the chat.
Yeah.
It makes it easier to keep the thing going for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I streamed on my new channel, which is in the show description, for the first time this past week, just testing out the rig. I worked on part of the story. What am I trying to say here? Whatever of Red Dead 2.
Okay.
And it was one of the side missions that I really like, where Arthur meets this widow that lives up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. It's a very cool interaction. It's one of the best side missions in the entire game. There's not a lot of effort involved. It's just a cool story. It's really good storytelling. Story mode is what I was trying to think of. But, you know, I streamed some Red Dead Online and had a few watchers. That was cool. And it was funny because I posted a video of it on Twitter where, if you guys are familiar with Red Dead, I got attacked by these wolves and they ended up in a house with me, which was pretty wild. And Amanda was watching it on YouTube and was freak, like on the edge of her seat. That's how good it was. But anyhow, but yeah, good times. Henry and I have been playing Battlefront 2.
Nice.
And so for whatever reason, like with the age limitations with EA, because their servers are what handle the multiplayer for that game, he can't connect to online. And I don't want to go in and say that he's 14.
Yeah.
Because like all of the really crappy, like outside of the game communications I've had, like the "you're terrible, you should kill yourself" stuff, came from Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
And my kid doesn't need that. And I mean, I can set it up to where he wouldn't get them. But we've been doing the two-player co-op, like split screen.
Nice.
Where you can do like a custom arcade scenario where you pick a location and it's 100. You have 100. Both teams have 100 troops or worth of troops, like 100 kills each.
Okay.
And it's whoever wins, your team versus the AI. And we've been having a lot of fun with that. And he got this from a show. But I got annihilated by something. And he says, hashtag get wrecked. And I was like, that's my boy. He does this little dab at the end. I'm like, that's my kid, man. So that's been cool. And I forgot how fun Battlefront 2 is. But I also forgot how maddening it is.
Yeah,
because the aiming mechanics of it are very hard.
Yeah, you have to kind of, I think it's one of those games where you have to kind of spend some time dialing in the controls.
Yeah.
In the settings menu, just because for sensitivities and stuff. Because some games have the default set really well that kind of work for everybody, just get used to a game. Some of them just, if you're used to a certain speed and you're used to third person shooters like you are, like that's, you know, that can become a,
right.
become a problem when you're used to a certain amount of speed and whatnot.
The sensitivity on that, it's like, I know guys who play it with the sensitivity set at full blast where, like, for me, I'm swinging wildly. My reticle's flying all over and I can't hit anything. Mm-hmm. But then, like, then it's too stiff and it takes too long to respond. But anyway, it's a cool game. And I don't know how much of an online community is still going away or going at it over there with that game. Mm-hmm. But, it's cool because, like, being immersed in Star Wars, and it sort of renewed his vigor for Star Wars, which I think is cool. He's playing with his action figures again, and that's makes me happy.
Yeah.
But
I've been playing a couple games with Max, too. We've been playing Fortnite together a little bit. And he's getting pretty good at it, if I'm honest. And yeah. He's still got, like, with every game, right? Like, there's a certain, I've been playing games for 30 years, right? So, like, you and I both have been through the entire history of gaming. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, you more so a little because, like, the 80s when it really, like, became, like, and your dad was in the arcade thing and all other stuff. So, like, not, he didn't have arcade, but he was, fixing machines. Right. So, you were playing them. But like, so we've seen the whole transition from like very simple controls to the first analog control, the controllers, sticks and all that stuff, to all the PlayStations and Xboxes and Nintendos. And like, so like there's a certain amount of this muscle memory skill you have in like movement and games and all kinds of stuff, especially when you play a lot of shooters and whatnot. And a game like Fortnite, there's a lot of movement mechanics in it, you know? And he's getting pretty good at most of them, but he's not played enough shooters, obviously, because he's just like his first one, really. He's not played a lot of shooters, and there's a certain like amount of jumping you need to do, or like dodging you need to do, or hiding, or, you know, when to reload, make sure, you know, you're getting all your other little, stuff, your stamina, your shield, your health. He knows he needs to do it, but he's still focused on how to win and why, and you know, he's putting
right,
it all together.
Right, right.
But he got like 5 kills the other day in one of the games. I was like, all right.
Good on him, man.
Yeah. But we played that. We played Fallout Guys together. Fall Guys. I won't say Fallout every time, it's Fall Guys. Fall Guys. And he likes that quite a bit, and he's pretty good at that. He kept us in a round earlier today, so we didn't get eliminated. It was pretty cool. And we've also been playing Rocket League a little bit. Huh. That game requires a lot of concentration, like really precise concentration with the controls. And he's getting there, but the camera's weird to get used to because there's a ball cam that follows the ball wherever it goes. So you have to like adjust how you normally would move in a game to compensate for it.
Right.
So he gets a little frustrated with that game and let's play Fall Guys. Let's play Fortnite. I'm like, all right, dude, quit raging at me. He's raging all the time, raging at me. I'm like, you need to settle your shit down or that game's going off.
Yeah. That's bad. Yeah. You got to nip that in the bud.
Oh man. Yeah. Trust me. I have been. He's also been playing that Guardians of the Galaxy game. He's gotten pretty far. He's almost beaten it, I think.
That's cool. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, there's like a false ending that, because I was ready for that game to be done by the time it was done. I was kind of over the whole formula.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was a cool game.
Yeah. But yeah, I get what you're saying. There's certain games like where you get into it, like this Immortals game, like you get new skills. It's like it makes it more fun, changes your fight, your fight, you know, success rate and whatever. And then after a while of just like grinding against it, like, okay, is this game about over now? We've been here for a while.
Yeah, that's how I got with South Park, Fractured But Whole. I've hung up on it for I'll revisit eventually, but
I wish we could play two player on Red Dead. That'd be cool to stream a two player co op of Red Dead. That'd be cool.
Well, you know, you can play Red Dead online and posse up with me.
I know, but I would definitely do that. I have Red Dead Online. I haven't downloaded, but I have it, and I have my like level 4 character still. So yeah. I got like 5 or 6 gold. I don't want to brag. I'm just saying, you know. I know it's quite a skill, but.
I actually managed to play some Red Dead with our buddy Dave Strutt, man. It was a good time. Good time.
No, we should do that. That'd be cool to do a dual stream of us playing Red Dead Online. It'd be fun.
Listen, while we're talking about cool stuff, let's talk about Andor. Not my best segue.
Clap on that transition.
but it was the halfway point of the season, and it was the heist. I was not a nervous wreck, but the tension was very, very well done.
Yeah.
The everything about this, by this point, you guys have heard every analysis of it there is.
We don't care.
Yeah. I just want to say that I was impressed with their ability to just go ahead and off a ton of characters.
Yeah.
Unapologetically. Yeah. Nope, stakes are high, man. And now they're dead.
Yeah, and they didn't even like die. Half of them didn't even die in like cool ways. Like, yeah, well, you're shot, and then you're shot.
Dead,
shot. Like, oh, they didn't like, there was no like sacrificing happening or anything like that. It's just like, you're fucking dead.
And then the one guy, the mouse, that guy, he getting crushed and breaking his spine by that pallet full of gold or whatever, you know, the credits. I didn't see that coming.
No.
And then to see Vel be so, is he still with us? Hoping that he was dead so that they wouldn't have to deviate from their mission. And I was shocked at her attitude about that.
Well, I think we tend to imagine that the people of the rebellion were the kinder of the people, right? You know, because they're about freedom and whatever else, but they're also like, well, freedom comes with a price, and I'm not going to be your shining rainbow. You know what I mean? And talk to any freedom fighter in the last, you know, thousands of years, you know, like they, you can go through the histories of all that. Like it takes extreme measures to make change, like, and if, especially when there's a mass like holding like the empire, they're restricting everything, you know, controlling everything. It takes the people to rebel, and that costs a lot of lives.
Right. When they went to interrupt communications at the radio base, they didn't kill that guy.
Yeah,
which if she was just that ice cold, you would have thought they would just.
But I think she's more like Saul Guerrero than we think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think Saul likes to intentionally just without reason kill people.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think if one of his homies got down that hard and they had to go, he'd be like, for the rebellion, and he'd leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just
so when we see that all happen, I mean, because we could go and recount every last moment of this thing. I did think it was cool, by the way, that they had the one guy whose name now I can't remember, who it turned out he had been a stormtrooper. And so we've established that they've had stormtroopers of color.
Yeah.
Even back then.
Yeah.
The by the time they get to that planet with the doctor, the orange four-armed guy.
Yeah.
That was a really cool effect. I thought it looked great. And how they're doing it, this operation in this grubby place. And you figure by that point, after all that trouble, that obviously he'll make it. And he doesn't.
Yeah.
I thought that was sad. And then it turns out the one guy, Skeen, is just a gross pig of a liar.
That scene was weird to me because like it felt like it just came out of nowhere. Maybe I'm just like, I only watched episode once, mm-hmm. so maybe on a second watch and I feel differently. But when I first saw that, I was just like, it sounded like he's trying to goat Cassian into doing something wrong.
You know, I thought that same thing too. Yeah. That maybe this is a thing where he's trying to. It reminds me of when I was a kid, my grandpa had this cherry tree that had forked real low on the trunk.
Okay.
So it was easy to climb because there was a section that went off at this angle and we would climb up there. Well, he told us he didn't want us climbing up there anymore.
Yeah.
Which was a bummer because I love playing in that cherry tree. Well, my cousin Cindy, we were at the Outback there playing one day and she said, oh, Grandpa said it was cool if we went ahead and climbed in the cherry tree. Mm. I'm like, oh, really? Cool. So I climb up the cherry tree pretty far. And then she runs inside to tell Grandpa that I'm up in the cherry tree.
What a jerk.
I never forgave her for it.
He shouldn't. Hold that grudge till you die. That's for sure.
Yeah. luckily, her sister, I still like you, Sarah. She's my Taylor Swift pal. Anyhow, you know, so that's it felt kind of like that. Where he's climb up in the cherry tree. Grandpa said it was fine. Ah, Grandpa, Cassie is in a cherry tree. And I did wonder that, but you know, Cassian's take on it is here's this guy this is his chance. Listen, I was actually just in this for the money. And now it's all sitting right there.
Yeah.
We could leave them here and bounce and split this. Well, obviously, Cassian knows that the guy will just do him in the first chance he gets to, if that's where he's going. So he shoots him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
Dude, didn't even, he just listened to him talk. He's like, yep, yep, yep. Just fucking dead. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, get him, Cassian. I mean, I was genuinely surprised because like they set him up to seem like somebody who would be like that. And then made us believe that he wasn't that.
Right.
He had a higher purpose. And then, but maybe he did. Maybe he really thought he held those truths to be self-evident or whatever. You know what I mean, like, but then.
When faced with the potential of having all this money for himself.
Yeah. He's like, man, those credits can make me forget quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But part of me wondered, is Cassian, is part of his rage over this, that these people died for a cause to get this, and you're willing to make what they died for meaningless because you're going to take this money and it's not even going to fulfill its purpose of funding this rebellion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it may be a big turning point for him, making him realize that he believes in this cause probably. Maybe he's not outwardly speaking about it, but you know, he probably definitely shares some views.
Right.
And to see it have such, you know, fragile holdings on the inside, you know what I mean? Like you know, bad handholds, you know what I mean? To climb up. Maybe he's thinking we gotta shoot this face from the inside. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's how he solves things, you know? You go in there, you shoot faces, and then ask questions later. So maybe he's realized, like, the rebellion's going to work. It's got to have somebody with some balls on the inside.
Right. Well, so one thing that you wonder, you know, we had Senta, who was left behind with that one Imperial's family.
Yeah.
And we find out that her family was killed by stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And Vel asks her, or says, promise me you'll be all right. I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
And after finding out that her family had been killed, I wonder if she meant, promise me that you're not going to sink into that.
Yeah.
So I really wonder if she killed that family. And I know a lot of people have been questioning that because when they show her coming out, she's got tears in her eyes.
Mm.
And, you know, that could really go
They were alive after she left.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they made a big deal of showing it.
Huh.
Maybe I'm misreading, but I'm misremembering, but I could have swore they showed them sitting there alone and her walking off with like that incredible like meteorite storm going on.
Huh, I'd have to check. I could have sworn that they just showed her without anything else.
I don't know.
But I've only watched it the one time. I just remember thinking, oh, dang, she iced those people.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But I could be wrong. Do you think any of the other people were stormtroopers and they just didn't say it or were part of the Empire?
The rebel crew?
Like the two ladies. Do you think they had any association with the Empire, or do you think they were probably like just from war-torn planets?
I suspect they're from war-torn planets, especially Centauk, because they said stormtroopers wiped out her whole family.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I met the leader, really.
Yeah. So. Vel's a tough read, but I like her character.
Yeah.
I like how rough she is. And
she reminds me a lot of the female Loki.
Yeah.
Like she gives me those vibes.
Yeah. 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 I really liked the episode quite a bit. This is what I was hoping for with Andor. Now I'm surprised that apparently it's not had the viewership that like The Mandalorian has, which I realize, I guess I'm not shocked at that, but I'm shocked at how big the gap is.
You have to imagine the parents who watch this with their kids, who probably watched The Mandalorian with their kids, who are not like us, right? You have to imagine they're probably like, well, this is not for kids at all. This guy's shooting guys in the face, like straight up. But without any humor in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Mandalorian definitely allows for humor, and it's still a serious show, but it allows for those. Plus, not to mention, you know, it's guys walking, you know, flying around in masks when they've got a little baby Yoda and everything else. It's just way more attractive to the entire family.
Right. Right.
Cassian is not that. It's a gripping war story is what it is, or espionage during war times story.
Well, and so, my family hasn't watched it at all.
Yeah, either is mine.
I can't envision Henry being held, his interest being held by it. I think it would be too serious.
Yes.
And like you said, it's not fast paced enough. There's not a lot of humor in it, if any.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it would be tough for him to get into it. I really liked seeing Mon Mothma in the Senate at the end. I thought it was cool the way Luthen heard about what had happened on the planet from one of the customers in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that they showed that the Senate is basically nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention to her. Yeah. And the half the seats were empty.
Mm-hmm. And people were leaving in the middle of her talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, imagine how hopeless you feel. But also, I mean, hopeless at the fact of being able to carry on this facade that you're still part of the Imperial Senate. You know what I mean? And not planning this rebellion, you know. But also how much more emboldened she has to feel for her cause, knowing that this is broken. We are ruining ourselves, and you know the people are, by letting this big, I felt for her, because have you ever been in a situation where you're given a speech or something and like people, like, because comedians talk about it all the time, you're playing music or something, like you're riffing through a set, people get up and leave. And you're like, because comedians will often stop. She's like, where the fuck are you going? What's wrong? Where are you going? They're like, I got to piss. I'm like, you fucking better. I'll be waiting to see if that place gets filled. You know? But anyways, it's really cool. And how about that meteorite shower? That was cool.
Looked amazing.
That was very James Gunnian, the way that looked. It looked something out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
What I loved is that it was a plot point too.
Yes.
That it served a major purpose. And not only did it look great, it had a point. One thing I was curious about is the group of Aldani, the indigenous people.
Yeah, yeah.
The way they kept focusing on them and really focusing on the leader, and they went back to them several times. I was starting to wonder if there was going to be an uprising during
yes.
it.
Yes.
And when that didn't happen, not that I was shocked. I think it was intended as a red herring. But mm-hmm. it was still made me wonder. And I thought that those characters, the people, the tribes people, I thought that was a cool notion. And to listen to how the empire is using their way of life against them, you just realize how gross they are and how destructive and selfish and all of those things. That it's just this big machine that's literally running over anything and everything in its path and getting a lot of joy out of doing it.
Yeah.
That's harsh, man.
Yeah, it's harsh. And I think the problem with some of these shows sometimes is because, you know, it's supposed to be escapism, but Star Wars, I would say, it's still hard to be classified as escapism because it's basically like making our realities like supernatural. You know what I mean? Like they're taking it into like a realm which we can't do. But whenever you see this empire and stuff, and how George Lucas always considered America to be the empire. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it. You can't help but like feel something in all these shows, like,
right.
Like you know what I mean? And once again, that's a very adult thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kids would be like, yeah, rebel. And their version of rebelling is, I'm not going to go to bed right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to eat this broccoli. You can't make me. You don't control my life. Actually, every aspect of your life I control. I'm the empire here. You understand? And you will eat that fucking broccoli.
And you started saying, have you ever given a speech and had people just not paying attention to you? It's like, I got two kids, my man. Of course I have.
Nothing worse than an eye roll from a six-year-old, Ernie.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. I just don't. I can't.
It just sucks because you realize we're about to hit the teen years, and that's going to be a lot worse. So,
oh, my man.
Yeah.
I had to have the talk with Stella.
Oh.
The big talk.
The big one.
About the birds and the bees and the joys of womanhood and all that. Amanda and I sat down with her because...
I was going to say, hopefully you were telling Amanda tell her about the joys of woman.
Well, unfortunately, Amanda kind of left it all. She was there with me, but I had to supply everything. And now here's the deal. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, okay? But I'm pretty good at having conversations like that.
Not for sure.
And so I made it. I was very honest with her. And I didn't want to quote Andy Dwyer to her and say, it feels super good. It's super fun. We should do it all the time. Sex is cool. But I told her, you know, you hear people say these words on TV shows all the time, and people do this because it's a good experience between, you know, in a couple, and but it's also how you get pregnant and so on and so on. And Amanda sort of didn't chime in as much as I would have hoped, but she told me, she's like, I'm so glad you were here to do this. And the reason we had to do it is because today they had the meeting at the school where they, I can't remember what they referred to it as, but it's where the school nurse comes in and talks to all the fifth graders about the realities of your changing bodies. And by the way, you damn kids need to start wearing deodorant. You all smell. And just all of those things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was like, I said, we need to get in front of it.
Yeah.
And tell her in a very honest and very real way. And yeah, dude. I'm like, how did we get here? My little girl's not so little anymore.
Yeah, my boy is very inquisitive, and there, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to not have. I need to have that talk with him soon, just so he's aware of what it is. You know what right. I mean? But then, you know, I don't want him to start. I don't want him to start to understand jokes that me and my wife are doing in the background. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'm wondering how long it will be before Stella figures out what all that noise Amanda and I are making at night.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the ductwork in our house is like the underground railroad communication system.
Yeah. Just shout down the hallway. Yeah. Man. Yeah. No, I think about that sometimes. But then I'm like, my parents didn't give a shit. So yeah. Here we are. Pass the trauma on down.
Yeah.
And hey, at least we're not like a lot of people that back in the 20s and earlier living in a single room and like, and there's a whole bunch of kids. So, you know, listen,
my dad was telling me he was one of five.
Yeah.
He was telling me about how they lived in a one room house with his grandpa. And I said, Dad, I just want to point out that during this time, Grandma had your sister Ann and your brother John. So when do you suppose all that happened? And his face was like, I've gone all these years without thinking about it, you bastard. I'm like, sorry, Dad. It's just the realities of life, man.
I must tell you a story about the birds and the bees, Father.
God.
Did he like suppress the memories of literally having to watch his parents bang?
Well,
like,
I think it's probably one of those things where you obviously realized it happened.
Yeah.
But you don't think about it until you're forced to think about it. And now it's all you can think about.
Maybe Grandma and Grandpa were woods adventurers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the winter would be rough, but you know, if you're committed, you know, you just Donald Duck it and get it on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, let's move on. God,
you started this.
Is true. So yeah. Speaking of getting it on, let's talk about the final episode of this season of She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah. She be banging.
Quite good.
Yeah.
Quite good. They went off the rails with it. Did you watch it?
Of course not.
Oh, man.
Way behind.
It was really good, man. She ends up getting arrested because she like hulked out and got mad and looked like she was going to hurt some people. She had to wear the suppression ankle thing, and she gets out and she decides she's going to go to the Abomination's meditation clinic.
Oh, cool.
In the meanwhile, all of these guys from this intelligentsia website that was put together to try to take her down.
The superhero QAnon.
Yes. They're meeting at this place. It turns out it's at that retreat.
Oh.
And then Abomination's in on it and all of this stuff.
Oh, no.
And the one guy had the dude who slept with her steal her blood so he could inject it into himself and get Hulk powers. And at that point, she stops, looks right at the camera and says, are we really doing this? She's like, I want to talk to Kevin. And she leaves. And she goes to like the Marvel Studios headquarters and walks in and she's at the front desk. And she's like, I want to talk to Kevin. They're like, oh, nobody talks to Kevin. No, I want to talk to Kevin. And she has to like sign in and all this stuff. She goes, you know, I'm She-Hulk, right? She goes, yeah, it's just a formality. Anyway, long story short, she goes in and talks to Kevin. And Kevin, it's actually K-E-V-I-N. It's a robot. Instead of Kevin Feige. And it's like Kevin has analyzed the best endings of how to make a superhero movie, bloop, bloop, bloop. And she just like tells him that this is stupid and you're wrong and you should be, this is my show and here's what you're going to do. And I'm like, what the hell am I watching? right now.
And that's an extreme fourth wall break.
It was so crazy. And at one point she's like, and when are we going to get this? And then she goes, and when are we going to get the X-Men? And she turns and looks right at the camera and is like, and gotcha. I was like, damn, it was crazy. And here's the thing. And I cannot stress this enough. Amanda was so happy with the entire series. And this episode just had her dying. She loved it. And so cool. To me, purpose fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
That was great because it was for her and not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And yeah. I was glad that she loved it. It yeah. was a lot of fun. And it was dumb as hell. But it was a lot of fun, man. I very, very much enjoyed it. And I would encourage anybody, now that you know what happened in it, even if you haven't seen any of it, go watch it from the beginning. It is definitely worth the watch.
Yeah, I want to finish it. I really do. I know I keep saying that, but I do. I'm done with Lord of the Rings now. So I have a little bit of room left to go back and watch some more shows.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, then, how mm-hmm. was that?
The finale just aired Friday, and it was very, very cool. There's a lot that you're kind of going to watch it, right? Kind of like
I think deciding, so, but don't deciding. Worry about spoiling it for me.
Well, I mean, okay, well, you know about the very beginning of it, right? Where they were fighting Morgoth, who was the master of Sauron, all that stuff.
Right, around the beginning.
Well, you know, they end up defeating Morgoth and Sauron vanished like he does, you know, like Sauron do. And he's always disappearing and coming back. He's back. That's Harry Potter. Wait. They're... Right, and then I believe in the first episode there was the man who rained down from the stars, right?
Uh huh.
Well, there was him, and there was another guy named Halbrand was Galadriel had thought was the king of the Southlands at one point. This is his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was two people. There was these two people all along that people are like, well, Sauron's coming back, and he's gonna be one of these guys, and I was hoping beyond hope that it wasn't the stranger, the big, tall, very Gandalf-looking guy. Uh-huh. I was really hoping it wasn't him. And there's these three wizard-like ladies. I don't know what they are. Somebody who's really into the mythology of all these things will know exactly what they were. But they are they had wizard-like powers. They were there to. They thought that this guy was Sauron. And major spoilers here, everybody. But they thought this guy was Sauron, so they came and they were working on him to, like, you know, get him, make him regain his memories, remember who he was.
Uh huh.
And this guy had befriended basically people that are a subcategory of hobbits, called the Harfoots, uh-huh. And. So he had befriended them and all this and that, and she believed him to be good and all that, and they were for sure that he was Sauron. And then she shows up to save him because he left, and there's the only really cheesy moment in the entire show that I've seen so far is this moment right here where they all realize, they're like, he's not Sauron, he's the other one. And then he, like, raises up this staff and he goes, I'm good. And blasts them all away. But, like, it's just like, it makes sense in the context of the conversation he had with the Harfoot, like, right before that happened.
Uh-huh.
But, like, because she was like, she's like, you choose who you are going to be. And, like, you know, like, like that. And, like, he had just gotten, goes, I'm good. You know, like, after he had, like, you come from the shadow and I send you back, whatever. I'm good.
Well, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, but it was really cool. I would say the main point of the season was to basically establish how, obviously, the Rings of Power were made, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of stuff going on with dwarves the entire time. And, like, I don't want to keep going on about it, but just speaking about the last episode a little bit, I just did a Patreon thing about it, but it was more of like a, I was watching the episode and talking about that I was going and pausing and going forward or whatever. But Sauron was introduced, and it was, you know, don't about spoiling, you said, is the other guy, right? The guy who was king of the Southlands, or thought he was, and Galadriel had basically realized that, because he had that little, I don't know if you saw it, but he had this little thing around his neck that was like basically of royalty. Like this, he claimed he found on a dead guy, and she was like, whatever, I know who you are. And she found out with these special secret elven scrolls she got when she went back there, that the line that she thought, the line of the king of the Southlands had died like 1,000 years prior. So they had no heirs. There was no king of the Southlands. So she's like, I want to know who you really are. And he's like, and this is the whole time, this guy's like helping them like develop how to stretch the little bit of mithril they have to make rings. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh man, he's like such a commoner. He knows how to do all this stuff. Oh, I can't believe it. And she's like, who are you? And she's like, and he's like, just like turns dark. So he thinks, I'm Sauron. And this guy goes, that's how he says, but he's like, I've been here before, you know, forever. You know what I mean? Right. Starts going through all these things, like makes her go back to a certain partner memories. It was all very, very cool. Hearing me retell it sounds dumb, but it's not. Like, I'm just not a good reteller. I really enjoy the entire series overall. The whole build up, the who these characters are, the new characters introduced. People, I was gonna make this thing about reading the one star reviews or some of the one star reviews on the podcast I was doing today, just because they were hilarious. Because every single one, it was diehard Tolkien fan here, and I gotta say these things here shouldn't apply here, and this and that, and Tolkien will be rolling in his grave. I'm like, and the whole time I'm like, I was reading about how like the whole Tolkien family had write off permissions on everything that happened in this show, that they could be like, nope, can't do that, nope, you can't, yes, you could. So they had to agree on everything that was put into this. So and the man himself's been long dead. His family makes decisions of what they can do. So like the characters they did, they're not allowed to use anything from the Silmarillion apparently, or the unfinished stories, stuff like that. And if they're basically only allowed to use the Middle Earth stuff, and everything else that they've gathered that's not from Middle Earth, they've had to pay extra for to use it. So like a dip into that pool.
Gotcha.
When they want to do something like that. And I have a feeling WB has some plan to make a Silmarillion movie or something. So it's probably why they're not really big on letting Amazon have all the credit to that.
Right.
But it's interesting. And I did find out that everybody's talking about that big $750 million number it took to make the show, right? That's not exactly true, because like $250 million of that was just to have the right to make the show. Did you know that? Oh,
gotcha. So that wasn't all just production. That was licensing.
Yes, $250 million. But that was to have the licensing for 5 seasons of a show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But also, a large bit of that production left, the $500 million, whatever, was a lot of it was meant for production for things that are going to be continually used. So they had to create the world. So a lot of that budget was for actually building the world they're using.
Gotcha. So like going forward, it won't incur those sorts of costs.
Not as many.
Like production, like producing the actual show, like the filming and all that.
Yeah. Gotcha. But they were saying that they may have spent upwards of like $500 million on this first season alone because of all of, not, mm-hmm. not the licensing, just the production and the, all the other stuff. They may have spent up to $500 million alone on the first season. So they've not paid for the second season yet. So that's $70 million factually is the first season, but it's really more like 500, which is still ridiculous.
Gotcha.
But it's only 8 episodes. Yeah. So, but if you see it, you see where that goes. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, each episode is I don't know how you could say anything but movie quality. Like, mm-hmm. it's exceptionally good.
Well, and that's like with Andor. Yeah. It's the effects are movie quality.
Yeah.
It looks tremendous. And you hope that in order to make shows of this magnitude, it has to pay off.
Yeah.
And so hopefully the metric to track whether or not it's paying off is showing that it pays off. Because we want stuff like this to keep happening. Because, man, there is something about being able to turn on the TV and watch a serial show that is of this caliber. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And it's clear that the numbers are good because there's only so many people that can get subscriptions. So they're very much aware that like that their numbers are fantastic. I think they did like three times what they thought they were going to expect initially. Like,
oh wow.
You know what I mean? Like they way undersold what they thought Disney Plus was going to be.
Right.
Amazon's Amazon. So they, you know, Bezos just wanted to do Lord of the Rings is all right. There is to it. He just wanted to do it. He's like, look, I'm worth a lot of fucking money. So we're making this work, you know?
But, and that's part of what I was talking about too, is whether or not like the way they track that, if they could point it directly at, okay, this increase in revenue is based on how baller this show is.
Yes. And I do know, I'm pretty sure the Lord of the Rings did pretty well, but Game of Thrones has been killing it. Like, it's like, I think when the first episode was like the first, was it the highest? I can't remember, it was the highest in HBO Max history, or if it was the biggest like new show release, like viewership ever. You know what I mean? Like it was like 35 million people or something like that. Which for a paid service like HBO, that's crazy. Like, yeah. I think it was, but that show's been doing really well. And it's hard, right? The thing with Andor that I don't understand, because I feel like people who like Game of Thrones and who like Lord of the Rings, all that stuff, I feel like they would all find a place with Andor too.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're just not watching it. I think maybe they're just like outright just not like Star Wars fans. Maybe they're sick of Star Wars or something.
Right.
And they're just like, oh yeah, lightsabers, force, we get it, whatever. And like they don't realize that this is like, no, this is like much more like an HBO show. You know, like it's much more in that vein.
Right. I mean, because it is just straight up full of intrigue spy show that is super, super rad.
It has the writing caliber of an HBO show too. That's why, which is a high bar. That's why HBO has done so well, because their writing's been incredible. But like it and the adult themes are much along that way. So it's just like, I wonder how much of what like did you see the numbers or see the any of that
of.
Like how you're saying Andor seems to be so doing so poor. Did you see?
Yeah, I saw a chart somebody had posted.
Okay, but it was significantly lower than The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Wow. Like less than half.
That I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, I still find it crazy, but I don't know. I think The Mandalorian just kind of took people by surprise, and it's hard to keep catching lightning in a bottle, right?
So, right. Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's, yeah.
And once they got us invested in that first season, the second season was a no-brainer, and it was, you know, like, oh yeah, we'll keep coming back. We love these stories. And then you see how they treated Boba Fett too, which wasn't that greatest, you know? And,
right.
Andor is probably a continuation of that. Like, Star Wars is weird. It almost feels like we're not supposed to get this much of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, because it's always been a limited dose sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten more Star Wars since the Disney acquisition than we had the entire rest of the time.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't include the Clone Wars,
right? Yeah, we're talking about, you know, live action.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we've gotten what? How many movies? We gotten five movies, right? Yeah. So yeah, the only one off from George.
Yeah.
You count the TV shows, look out. But I it was funny is I was speaking of Star Wars TV shows. I was looking in my notes on my phone because I had forgotten that I could do that. Anyways, so I didn't mean to say that, but I had written down because they keep talking about how like Lando Calrissian is still like a thing, right? They were I think they said recently that like Donald Glover is still doing it, it's still a thing. And I was wondering how much of a chance do you think there's that they're working on some kind of like younger, like not like a Solo show, but like having the Lando show, and like what are the chances of like the CGI'd Mark Hamill, or like the Carrie Fisher's daughter playing Leia and stuff like that. Like, do you think that's a possibility that Billy Lord plays younger Princess Leia again? Like, you know, you think it's a thing?
I don't know. I don't know how much more totally CGI'd characters I want.
You're going to get it.
And I know that sounds dumb, but I don't want it to just be the go-to, because what happens is that ends up taking away from like the story or the discussion of the story, because it kind of becomes such a focal point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So like, that's why I'm saying, like, I wonder like if they're working, because I'm thinking, right, they have young Lando Calrissian that they want to use. They want to use Donald Glover for that. So they probably can't ever have him interact later on with like, will they have all these new versions of the characters and then still CGI'd Mark Hamill there, you know? Like, 'cause you got to think at some point they're going to scratch that itch. You know what I mean? They're going to tell some of the story between, you know, like this Mandalorian era, right? Like, is there, if we have more Luke Skywalker, why is there no Leia? You know, like I feel like there's some path that where they would find a reason to show Leia or Han or something, and then before you know it, it's just like they got the CGI trio and all these freaking TV shows and movies and whatever, keeping the dream alive forever until we all burn Star Wars down. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm just afraid that like if stuff like Andor doesn't do well, that's still kind of playing in the same era, that they're going to just get more and more gun shy about newer stories. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm rambling at this point. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I was just going to let you go on. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's your show too.
Thanks, buddy.
For now.
Changes can be made, Mr. Cruiser.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you know how it goes. Well, anyway, having said all that, listen, man, yeah, I'm not sure. So next week we're going to have another episode of Andor, and we'll also have Tales of the Jedi. Now, we'll know that won't be next week. It won't come out until 2 days after we record.
Yeah, it'll come out on, or is it this Wednesday?
No, it comes out the 26th.
Yeah, it'll be, won't be next week.
So here's the thing. What we're going to do is, on the episode following the 26th, we're going to talk about all 6 episodes of that show.
Yeah.
At least on some level. And then maybe we can come back and really hit like specific ones after that. But just to give everybody warning up front, we'll talk about the whole thing, especially now that the Lord of the Rings had its series finale or season finale. I mean, we're going to be forced to talk about it. I just want
And She-Hulk.
Yeah, and She-Hulk. Yep. I'm glad that there's going to be a second season of that show. Mm-hmm. I really think the character is fun and worth developing. So, rock on.
I hope they put her in a movie.
That would be cool too.
Yeah.
There's some about the CGI. There's nothing else they can do with it. It just, I sort of get tired of looking at it. Like, they even made a joke about it where the robot Kevin tells her, "You can change back into your normal self, please, or because you're very expensive. And can you do it off camera?" So that's what they did. The camera turns, and then when it goes back, she's her again. And I'm like, good Lord, that was deep. That was
indie. How much money did they spend just to animate that bullshit? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, because that's what they were saying. It's like, all right, yeah, can you transform off camera so that we don't have to pay for the effect? Yeah. Clap, clap, clap. Anyway, guys, hey, listen, thanks for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. Leave us a review if you haven't, a good one. If you're going to leave us a bad one, just go ahead and just don't, okay? Even if it's deserved, please don't. All right, my poor ego can't take it.
We don't need your honesty.
Yeah, that's not what we're after here. Listen, if I wanted that, lies. I would have just let that guitar student of mine tell me how old I look. Listen, I get it. I'm 85 now. You're going to look old. Yeah. But anyhow, check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com. I don't know.
Wait, have you seen Martha Stewart real quick? She's at 81. Have you seen her recently?
Uh-uh.
She did like this little like, she did this thirst trap thing, and people were like, holy shit, Martha Stewart, 81. Well,
let's have a quick look at that.
And I'm just saying, still, she's like, she was in an apron with like nothing under it.
Whoa.
I know. Everybody's like, oh, hold
Martha
up.
Stewart.
Did all of a sudden I didn't develop a granny fetish? Where'd that happen?
Listen.
Let's stop this show. That's what I'm saying. Where'd that come from?
You know what, man? Hang on. It's a video.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. What? No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but no. Stop it. I can't.
I think you'd have to, though. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah. Age say is you just went there. A number.
You know? She's proven it.
Anyhow, listen, check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators where you can hear me tell tales of when I was a newsie back in the day.
Extra, extra.
My first job, reporting on the sinking of the Titanic.
Screaming at people on the parking.
That was really something.
Smacking his hand with the papers.
And, yep, exactly.
His little six-year-old hands.
And, God, good Lord. Anyway, why? Patreon.com/thebadmotivators. You know, there's some good stuff happening over there.
Just saying, apparently. You were a good worker at six. Calm down. Newsy's not an easy job.
No, it wasn't an easy job.
You gotta get up at 2:30 to get the paper for the next day, and then
people
set
were
up your
mean
stand.
About it too.
Yeah, Nickel, get the hell out of here.
Anyhow, check out our merch on TeePublic and Redbubble, please, if you would. Please and thank you. Follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. Watch Cruiser stream on Twitch. Maybe watch me stream on Twitch. And enjoy the good times.
Ooh.
So, yeah, man, there's really nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.